Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the My Accountant Handles That podcast, presented by The Quantify Group, the podcast that covers all aspects of running the financial side of your business. And now, your hosts, longtime CPAs, Dave Ashworth and Alex Steinberg.
Welcome to the My Accountant Handles That podcast. I'm your co-host, Dave Ashworth. I'm here with my business partner and co-host, Alex Steinberg. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, everybody. How you all doing?
Dude, I know since the last time we spoke, we were like, man, we haven't had sports for a while, but some exciting news. Baseball started yesterday, actually. Got some Phillies action tonight. So we'll be actually probably a couple days in by the time this posts. So it's pretty sweet, man. It's been a while, and I feel like it's just going to be a good thing just to like sit back and watch a game and not worry about things for a little while. Like it's just good. And we both love sports, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Ready for Phillies. Sure. I was kind of keeping an eye on the Yankees and the, what's it called? The Nationals last night, just keeping a score. Yeah. But it's just nice. You know what? Honestly, just, I can't always watch it because of my son. Just it's too much.
Yeah.
So I just to see live scores again.
I know.
Like see stats. I was like, man, this is, you just forget how much you missed just even that little piece of going.
I know.
Just see what's going on.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Like both being big sports fans, like how much like we just love like following that and the analysis of it and like just watching like ESPN at night to see what happened. Like it's just. It's awesome, and I'm excited that we're kind of getting back to that. So,
yeah.
So today I wanted to talk about something that is really important to us. It's definitely a little more, I think it can be a twofold podcast. I think one, it's going to talk about us and kind of the foundations of our business and, you know, why people would consider working with us. But at the same time, my hope is that people can just evaluate their other professional services that they're using and just make sure that people are doing a good job for them. You know, we, to kind of dive into the topic, we basically came up with a list of 10 promises that we make all of our clients. It's something that we've kind of developed over the years, but it's things that we just take super serious. And, you know, coming out of public accounting, there's things that we wanted to do differently and things that we wanted to really make sure that we do a good job for our clients. So there's a bunch of that in here. And then just things that we feel like we owe to our clients as we're working with them. So yes, it is going to be us kind of talking about ourselves, but I think it's a way for people to see, you know, what level of service they should be getting, you know, specifically from their accounting function, but really any function. And just a disclaimer, like our list, other people will have other things on their list that they feel like they can offer and promises they make their clients. And they don't need to cover everything on our list. This is just kind of for us. But I think it's important to talk about. So why don't we just dive in? There's 10 of them. I'll read them and we'll just talk about them briefly and why they're important to us. And we'll kind of go from there. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So the first one is just that our clients will have peace of mind knowing that we're overseeing the financial health of your organization. I don't know at this point. I mean, we have to be over 20 years experience in accounting, right? Maybe 25 years experience in accounting.
Combined.
Yeah, combined.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know, we've both worked in large public firms. Alex has worked in some much larger ones. He's also worked in some smaller ones. And then we've been doing our own thing for about 8 years. So we feel like we have a ton of experience. We've seen a lot of things. And when we're kind of in charge of the financial aspect of somebody's business, we feel very comfortable in that role. We feel like we have a good handle on things. If we don't, we'll figure out why and we'll get a good handle on things. And I think just being able to pass that peace of mind along to our clients, they can know that things are under control. Things aren't going to slip through the cracks, that everything is right when they're looking at numbers. And then we're going to bring things to them. So I think that peace of mind, I think this was one that we kind of asked our clients, like, why do you like working with us? And I think a lot of them came up with this specific one. Like, it's just peace of mind knowing that you guys are taking care of it. So that was the first one, and probably one of the most important ones, and probably, I would say on this whole list, probably the most common one that we've heard from our clients over the years.
Yeah, the one jumped out at me was one of our clients said to me one time, he's, you know, I can always sleep at night knowing you guys are handling the books. Yeah, give me numbers. I know numbers are right. So, I mean, that's important. You know, it's huge. I mean, just even just that alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's still, regardless of what it is, it's still compliance. It's still, you're doing tax returns based off those numbers. That's reported to the government. I mean, it has to be in order all the time.
Yeah. And there's enough going on running a business. Like,
that's
there's
my
enough
next point.
There's enough stresses with running a business and trying to, you know, increase your revenue and make sure your bills are getting paid, you know, to not have to worry about, like, yeah, it might not, the financials might not be always encouraging to you. You know, there might be things that you see, they're like, oh man, this kind of stinks. Like, we're going in the wrong direction, but knowing that they're right and knowing you're getting information that you can then change things, that's important. And that would give me peace of mind. So,
yeah, it's kind of like too, I always think of, you know, would you have somebody with limited or no experience around your personal finances?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, right? I mean, no. I kind of look at the business when you're a small business or a mid-sized business. Like, if you have 20 employees, like, you need someone who knows what they're doing, one, and two, has the experience to handle it, mostly any situation that comes up. Obviously, like you said, there's going to be random situations that you have to do some research or piece things together, but you just, it's super important to have things in line, someone that knows what they're doing, look, taking care of you. You need to, look at these giant businesses with like humongous accounting departments. Yeah. They need to do it because of compliance. Obviously we know that, but two, they know the importance of looking at numbers that actually are real and make sense and not just kind of haphazard. You can't make any decisions when they're just all over the place and don't make any sense. We've seen some, like, I couldn't even tell you what we've seen in our lifetimes in the debt counting, these balance sheets and P&Ls. Like, it's just, we don't have people run businesses sometimes based on that. There's like negative assets all over the place. And yeah, sometimes there's a reason for a negative asset, but like not a small business when there's really just cash. It's mostly cash and like some AP, AR. It's you can't make a sound decision besides just going off like you're like the guess, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as a business owner, you have so many things going on in your head. There's so many decisions you need to make. This is one that you really don't need to be worrying about if you get the right team in place. Like, whether your financials are right, whether you're going to get timely information, whether you're going to let something fall through the cracks. Like, if you have the right team in place, that's one less thing you have to worry about. And you can put more of your time and effort into running the business, growing the business, and doing things that you're good at. So this is a big one. I know we spent a bunch of time on the first one. But that's a recurring theme that we've heard from probably most of our clients over the years. So definitely wanted to touch on that one. The next one is our next promise to our clients is we will always tell you the candid truth so you can make the right decisions. We've actually had conversations about this in the past and taken it a step further and said, you know, there's been certain situations where we could have told a client something. Maybe there was additional work that we could do, or maybe there was something where, you know, hey, they wanted to sell their business and we would be out of a job. And we could have maybe said, hey, maybe hold off for a little bit just to put more money in our pocket for a longer period of time. We've said from the beginning that we're always going to tell them the truth. We're going to do what we think is right, even if it hurts our own bottom line, because they just flat out deserve to know. If they're running a business,
right,
that's their livelihood. And we see something that's not being done correctly, or it's not being done right. Or maybe it's like coming to a client saying, hey, like, this isn't really working out. You need to make a switch here. Those are really hard conversations and tough conversations, but we feel like a client deserves to know. And if they're hiring us to be that financial oversight in their business, then it's our job to do that. So,
right. It's more, I almost think of, like, do unto others as they do unto you.
Yeah. It's great.
I know it's like, I mean, I couldn't really add much more than that to what you said. I mean, we care about our clients, and, you know, some people don't. I mean, everyone to us is an A client. Other CPA firms are going to have A, B, C, D, I'm sure E, F, G. I don't know, but yeah, they keep going down the list. I mean, to us, we know your business is important, but your startup, your 20, 30 million, we're going to care. We're going to get back to you right away. You know, it's, we, if I was in my client's shoes, I'd want us to tell us what we tell our clients.
Yeah. Even if it's something that's not what we want to hear, you know, it's something that, they need to hear, tough conversations they need to be had. So that's the second one.
However, I'll tell you that these tough, even the negative situations that came up where something happened, we usually can turn it and flip it into something that's positive or help make, not that like we, it's something we did like majorly wrong. It's more just like, I mean, we have one client, I'll give an example that, we did his tax return based on last year's return. And there's a Qubit deduction at 20% one. You probably remember this going on. Mm-hmm. They owed like, I don't know, $27,000, I think. So we did some research, you know, we had that tough conversation. Like, you know, we just took over in like, what was it, end of December?
Yeah,
it was like too late. It was too late to like fix everything. And we had a discussion after we did some research and we were able to maximize his Qubit deduction and only owed $3,000. So, I mean, it was a, it's tough. We could have just made up, we could have just made it work basically to get rid of it and never said a word or any, or just be like, hey, whatever, you're stuck with it. But we took the extra time and fixed the situation, actually made it unbelievably better for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, those conversations can be tough at times, for sure. But like you said, if the shoe is on the other foot, would you want to know what's going on? Even if it's bad news, would you want to know? I think most people would agree that they would. And so we pride ourselves on being able to have those conversations, even if they're tough. So that's the second one. The third one is we always strive to provide value-added advice to drive growth and increase profit. I think that that's what every business owner wants, right? They want to grow and they want to increase their profit in any way possible. And so we're always looking for ways to just bring value to them. And that can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, always accounting or always tax. Like, we're always looking for ways, whether it's introducing them to somebody else or finding something they could be doing different, or, you know, sending an article that we see that could affect them. We're always looking out for our clients and trying to just bring value any way we can. And like I said, I think that's part of our job and part of our role, and we owe it to them in the position that we're in. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that one.
Not much. I mean, I pretty much gave you an example. I mean, there's I could probably give you countless examples of that, but we don't have time to go through
those. That one's pretty straightforward. The next one, number four, is one that I think we've talked about on all sorts of different podcasts and videos and things, and it's just the idea of being proactive. I think a lot of other accountants specifically miss the boat on this, where they're really good at solving issues and answering questions, but they really miss the proactive piece where they're going to clients with things that they're seeing ahead of it, before things happen. They're not just reacting to what happens. And so we've always done our best to get ahead of things, to bring issues up to clients, to try to look ahead to the future about what's coming down the line, so that they can plan their business and make better decisions, and not just, you know, figure out, okay, this happened, okay, now how do we account for it? Because once things happen, there's, you know, it's a lot harder to make a change, to make an adjustment, to make it more of a positive outcome than if you do it ahead of time. So that one's one that's definitely is important to us. So I would consider us proactive accountants, and I think we take that serious.
Yeah, I think our business model is inherently proactive, because a lot. This is not every single firm. Not just doing a general comment based on where I worked at previous CPA firms. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing, obviously, because they're doing great and they're growing all the time. But a lot of times, the clients that we had, it's like you talk once a year. I mean, what do you do at that point? If you didn't call me about a transaction, well, we can go try to work backwards, you know, and try to fix it. But it's always kind of like it's the cash already exchanged hands, and you're kind of like trying to fix what are like 6 to 12 months ago. Is it possible? Yeah. But I mean, when we're working with our clients, we're not just doing the bookkeeping and moving on. We're analyzing it for accounting, like the accounting purposes, like GAAP. Again, we're not true official GAAP, but we're doing GAAP accounting. Yeah. I know it's kind of confusing, but we're not doing the audit of financials where I do these and complex calculations, right, which nobody understands half the time.
Right. Right.
So we don't take that step, basically.
Right. We're just doing it so we can do good analysis and understand everything that's happening.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that the listeners understood. Yeah. So we do it for that. And we're also looking from your tax side of things, because we're also typically engaged with taxes with a lot of our clients. So every single month, even, you know, we do some weekly accounting for some of our clients. We're seeing things as they occur. Sometimes they happen within the week. Sometimes we catch ahead of time because, you know, we see something that happened and we kind of can like fix things as we go, or just make it better. So it's just the way our model is set up is like is to be super proactive about things. And that's what you want. You don't, 1 year later, what does that do? There's no analysis you can do. There's very minimal times you can change something to make it work.
Yeah.
And I want to do quote unquote creative accounting, I guess, or creative tax accounting. So
that's not about that. No.
That goes back to not sleeping at night.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people looking for a new accountant saying, you know, my accountant just answers my questions. Like, he never reaches out. There's no interaction. It's only if I come up with an issue or I raise a question, you know, he'll answer it.
Right.
It's just reactive. I hear that all the time.
And you better hope you're an A or B client, because if you're C or D, your call is not going to get returned for weeks, unfortunately.
Right. Exactly. Well, that rolls us into number five. Unfortunately, I think one of the reasons that we implemented this one was because we just saw it so lacking in some of the bigger firms we were at. And I'm not hating on them. Like, I get it. They're huge firms. They have a ton of clients. It's hard to, you know, provide the same level of communication to every client. Like, I get it. But you know, if you have a client, let's say you're working with a client that's 100 million in revenue and you have another client that's 1 million in revenue, it seemed like the 100 million was prioritized and you'd get back to them, you answer their calls, and the million was not, because it was just a smaller client, smaller account. Well, for us, we've just kind of taken a different approach where, you know, the owner who runs the $100 million business, like, that's where he's investing all of his time and assets and money. And that's like very important for him. That's his livelihood. Well, the same thing is for the guy who runs the $1 million business or the $100,000 business. That's his livelihood. That's his business. And he deserves to have someone that's going to respond to him and get back to him just as much as the other guy does or the other person does. And so we put in something in place. I'm sure it hasn't been perfect, but we work very hard to achieve this, to respond to all communication within 24 hours. Sometimes it's just, hey, like, I'll get back to you, I'm working on this. And sometimes it's providing a full answer. But just that level of communication where we're talking to the client and letting them know that, hey, we got your message, we're working on it, I think goes a long way in showing that we're here for you and we're here to help you, because we are. So, you know, this was one that I think was born out of coming out of some larger firms that were lacking in this, and we kind of needed to do it different. So
mine's 2020. I mean, it's pretty easy to send a quick email to somebody or shoot somebody text.
Yeah, it's right on your phone. Yeah, it's very easy.
It's unfortunately, I mean, things happen. No one's saying every single day you have to be perfect like that, and we're not saying that either. But you know, in general, if nothing else is going on, you're at your computer desk, you get an email, it sounds like semi-important, just shoot a quick note. It like takes 2 seconds. I know people are busy. We all know, but we're never too busy to get back to somebody like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Very simple. We're like, we'll get back to you tomorrow. Even just something, you can't keep people hanging anymore. It's too, the society that we're in now, everybody wants everything immediately. It's just the way it is. I mean, I'm just probably the same way and you are. And so is everybody else. I mean, if you kind of, you know, when people are ignoring you, and it's really not a good feeling.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing that kind of drives me nuts is, like, if you send someone a message in today's day and age, like, they got your message. You know what I mean? Like, if you send someone an email, they got your email or they got your text message. Like, stuff doesn't really fall through the cracks for people anymore.
Very rare. It does happen randomly, but it's like very rare.
But it's very rare. Very rare. So we'll kind of move into the next one, which is number six. And this one is probably our client's favorite, just because it's about saving money. So We are always looking for ways that we can save our clients money and put more money in their pocket. And that could be something very small. That could be something large, like doing a full tax plan and saving them on taxes. Or it could be something very simple. A way that could save them money is we had a client the other day that was looking to switch to QuickBooks Online. And we have an account with them that can save them like 50% for the first year. And I know it's really simple, but we're just always looking for ways to save our clients money and put more money in their pocket, pretty much however we can. So that's one that we've always committed to our clients. Sometimes there's not a ton of opportunity, but we're always going to be looking for that.
Great. I mean, just what we're here for. It's one of the things to do analysis on. It's probably the easiest, not the easiest, but probably the way it comes up most is in taxes. Because I mean, sometimes you have business expense you need to spend, right?
Yep, for sure.
But if there's something excessive, like your bank is, you're going overdraft. I mean, we've seen clients with like $5,000 overdraft fees in a year. We pick them up and like, just get overdraft protection or a line of credit or somehow. Yeah, or
talk to somebody else, like do something.
Something. So just simple as that even.
Yep. Yeah. We're always looking. The next one is something that I think is being adopted more, in just the accounting world, but we've been doing it for a while now. And we feel like it's worked really well for us and our clients is we're very transparent about the prices that we charge and the scope of every project. So typically we charge our clients a monthly fixed fee. And it's, you know, they know exactly what they're getting charged up front. If there's something outside of the scope, we'll let them know that. We'll let them know the additional charge. And they just won't have any surprises on their bill. And I think this helps the clients to just know what's coming. You know, it helps their cash flow. They know how much they're getting charged each month. And it just makes it really easy to do the work. And then we don't have to worry about, hey, they make a phone call and they ask a question. Do we have to bill them for that?
Oh, that's the worst.
Little type of things like that is just, hey, we've included that in our monthly fee and we just roll with it. And they seem to like that pretty well. So,
yeah, I mean, same thing as everything else. You don't like surprises. I had to do billing other CPA firms and you have like staff who just needs time to figure things out. And you have partners that want to bill it. And you're just like, well, how can you bill them for figuring something out when you probably should, like someone should have known it. Yeah. And then you take it, and then the other side of things is like, do you want to see a surprise bill of like $5,000-$10,000 when you're expecting like $2,000? We just do the price expectation up front. We agree to it. It's done. If something major comes up that's up and above and beyond, then we talk to you first.
Yep.
You know, if we're going to do it for nothing, then we just do it and we tell you, like, yeah, it's just done. It's most of it's baked into our fee.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes it really efficient. It makes things really easy. It just works. That kind of rolls into the next one as well is, we do our best to make sure our clients don't have any financial surprises or miss deadlines. We keep track of those things. You know, we try to plan as best as we can. So at the end of the year, you know, they may not have paid taxes in throughout the year, but they know what their bill is going to be at the end of the year, or we haven't paid them in so that there isn't a bill at the end of the year. We work with them to figure out, you know, the best strategy there. But we just try to avoid financial surprises. Those things can be very frustrating and really hurt a business owner. So we try to do our best to do that. Now, obviously, there's things that come up that we can't control. You know, if a client gets audited or something, right? We had no idea that was going to happen. There's no way for us to know. And there might be some tax implications of that potentially. So there's no way for us to really know like certain things. But we're going to do our best to try to avoid those, to plan for those. And then most certainly make sure that we hit all the deadlines as things are due.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to like do unto others, you know, I'd want someone to tell me if I'm going to, what I need to pay and what to owe, not just give me some blanket estimated tax payments.
Yep.
You know, that's what a lot of times happens. A lot of CPA firms work that the client's a tax client. You do a tax return. Here's four quarters of estimates based on, they call it safe harbor, which is either your prior year act times 110% minus what you paid taxes versus a current year. And they just say, hey, here's your four estimates pay. And then you all of a sudden get a big tax bill in April and say, what do you know what happened? So so we're going as we go, we do whatever's actually happening in your business, we pay on that. If you made more one quarter, you're paying more. If you made less one quarter, you're paying less. Yeah. But it's all matching up, and then you do a year-end true-up, and then it should be 99% taken care of at that point.
Yep.
If you don't tell us something, we can't really – we're not like wizards, and we can't figure out – like we can't figure something out, you know? So if you don't tell us, we don't know. But at the same time, we ask the questions to try to figure – like kind of pry the information from you, make sure – because you might not know it's important that we know it's – but we know it's important.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, we're keeping up with that every quarter, talking to you about it. I mean, I hate to keep doing a commercial on ourselves here, but we, of course, everyone makes mistakes. I'm not going to say we're perfect.
No, we're not perfect.
We catch like 99% of everything, but it's some things happen.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, like I said in the beginning, the point of this was, yeah, we want to talk about the promises we make to our clients because they're important. But just if you're working with other accountants, you know, they should be doing a lot of these things for you and helping you through this. And I'm sure a lot of them are, but you know, with whatever you're doing, there should be some level of promise that they can make to you and keep. So that's kind of the secondary reason we're going through this. All right, we're through 8. So 2 more, we're just sprinting through these here. Number 9, this one is one that you and I have had some conversations about a lot. I think one of the things that kind of drives us nuts sometimes is the whole like accounting jargon, like corporate jargon type stuff that's just, it's just not really needed. And you know, when you and I talk about certain things, sometimes it makes sense to talk in technical terms and use accounting because we both know it,
right?
But I think that it becomes a big issue when we're talking to clients and we're using a ton of accounting jargon or technical jargon or words that they just don't understand. Like, we're doing them a disservice because now they're not even getting anything out of the conversation. And I don't know if this is true. This is what I believe to be true, and probably going to ruffle some feathers a little bit. But I think accountants use a lot of technical jargon and technical terms because they just want to sound smart in front of clients. And the reality is they're actually hurting the relationship with their client, and they're not helping their client because the client's going to leave the meeting and be like, I don't even know what the heck they just said. How can I even use any of this? So we've done our best, and I'm sure that it's not perfect, but we've done our best to communicate with clients on a level that they can understand. Now, certain clients have more of a financial background and we can talk more technical with them, and that's great. And some don't. Some have no accounting or no finance background whatsoever. And we have to break things down on very simple terms. And that's okay too. And that's, to me, that's a big part of our job. Because if we're talking to them, we're giving them recommendations, and we're helping explain things, and they don't even understand it, then what are we even doing? You know what I mean? So this is one that I know has kind of drove us both nuts in the past.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, it's important. And it's our duty.
Again, go ruffle some feathers. If you have an accountant who talks in all technical knowledge to technical like tax codes or accounting codes, and they don't really break it down, ask them one time to break it down. See if they understand what they're actually saying to you, besides spouting off a code section, which no one really cares about at the end of the day.
Right.
Unless you're a giant monstrous company, like if you're a $2 million company, do you care that section 40267, whatever? Whatever. I'm just making up stupid stuff now.
But no, you don't. You care that you're getting a deduction, right?
Yeah. So if we're writing a technical, if someone asks us to write like a memo to them, like, can you write this all up for me professionally? We're going to be professional. But if we're talking to you, we're not going to just bog you down with tax code law. So it doesn't do anybody good.
No.
If you don't believe we're smart, then fire us.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously.
It's true. I think that, in my opinion, again, I think the people that can have the technical knowledge and really understand it and then can break it down on a level that other people can understand are actually the people that have the most technical knowledge, because they can break it down on a level that everybody can understand.
Right.
The ones that just have it and have it to themselves, but they can't explain it to anybody else. Like, I guess I'm not really sure. There's cases where that's beneficial, but for the type of work that we're doing, I just don't think that that's super beneficial to our clients, to be honest.
Yeah, look, if you're a CPA and you start your own business and like we're working with you 2 years out of it, you're probably going to remember a lot of stuff we can talk to you. But if you've never done the CPA world, like how do you even know what these terms are? Like you probably at some of the businesses that we work with, like they might have a abbreviation or a term. Like I've heard of it, but I don't really know every single time what your terminology is. Like, you know, a lot of times I will, because we've just been in working so long, but there could be something small. Same thing with us. We're picking out little small pieces, small nuggets of the tax code or the gap world. Like you're just not going to know. So how, without knowing exactly what we're saying, like none of what we said helps you.
All right. So I'm gonna put you on the spot here really quick. Cause this is, I just think this is funny. So I'll tell you one of my own, but like accounting terms are something that just drive you nuts when you hear it. And you might actually just, you might've actually picked this one, but the one that drives me nuts is when, and then we'll move on to the last point, when people say like net, net, or,
I was gonna say.
or net, net, net. And it's like, the net is the net. Like that's it. It's done. What is net, net? But people say it all the time, and
I know
and
what they're
just
saying.
Like,
I know
I get
saying.
It. No, I get it. But it's like, it's really just like net, net. Like, and it's like, come on. It just drives me nuts. So I don't know if you had any other in addition to that, but that's my, like, that's the one I just can't take.
Well, I know what they're saying. It's just to say net of tax would be easier to say.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, there's probably too many. I'd probably offend people if I say it.
Yeah.
So let's just let
fair
it go.
Enough, fair enough. Fair enough. So that was number 9. And then number 10, pretty simple one, but technology is a big deal for us. We're younger guys. We grew up with technology. We feel like the future of accounting really is about embracing technology and using it to be more efficient, to collaborate with clients better. And so we do the best we can to embrace technology and looking for new technology. And we're not afraid to make changes. If there's something that's better and something that works better, we'll make a change. And we're not afraid to do that. And I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that over the years. I feel like we can definitely even do more of it. I know other accountants.
Sure we could.
I know other accountants that do a better job than us at embracing technology. They use all sorts of technology and do a really good job at it. But I think compared to a lot of accountants, I think we're doing a pretty good job, and we'll continue to try to push into technology. Cause like I said, I think the future of accounting and running the accounting department of a small business is, you know, you need to be using technology, using the cloud, using all those things to really have a good experience and be most efficient that way. So
great. Yeah. You can always do better. If you don't think you can do better, you are going to be left behind.
Yep.
So
for sure. For sure. So that's our 10. That's our 10. And that this list was kind of born out of some of our experiences from public accounting, from talking to our clients, why they are working with us, and then just things that we feel like we owe to our clients. And this list is something that we take really serious. And if you become a client of ours, you will see us doing all of these things to the best of our ability all the time. But I want to just encourage you, you know, you work with all sorts of different professionals as a business owner. You work with marketing people and attorneys and IT and accountants and all sorts of people. You know, I would encourage you to ask them, you know, what are the values that they stand behind? What are the promises that they make to you? And I'm sure that they will all have some. But as a business owner, you deserve to have people that are looking out for you. They're doing their best for you. They're standing in your corner and fighting for you so that you can just grow your business and achieve your goals the best you can. So that's kind of why we wanted to talk about this. That's why we put this list together, and it's on our website, right on the homepage of our website. And Alex and I's signatures are both there because it's something that we stand behind, and it's something that we want all of our clients and prospective clients to see. So any kind of final thoughts, Alex, before we jump off here?
No, I mean, just regards to that. I mean, that's what I'd probably say anyway, what you just said there at the end. We'll make sure you all know this is what we stand by. And that's really about it. I mean, we just try to service our clients. Like I said before, do unto others, they do unto you.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. It's funny, but it really is as simple as that. You know, if I was a business owner, these are the things I would want my accountant doing for me. And so just to put that into play for us just makes a ton of sense. So that's all we have for this week here. We appreciate you guys listening along. You should be able to find this podcast on all the major platforms like Spotify and iTunes and a couple of other ones as well. We also post new content every single week. We post videos. We have the podcast. written articles. I usually do a Facebook Live every Wednesday, kind of go over different topics, and I'm open to any type of Q&A. If you ever have questions about anything that we talk about, feel free to reach out to Alex or myself. We are more than happy just to help you, to answer your questions, to help push you in the right direction if there's something that you're struggling with. So we appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate you guys following along, and we will talk to you in the next one. Thanks for listening to the My Accountant Handles That podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on LinkedIn at The Quantify Group for more awesome content related to running the financial side of your business. We'll talk to you in the next one.